Welcome to HorrorFatale.com, almost live, where sarcasm goes to the movies and snark watches TV, with your hosts, the Horror Fatale and the Diva Mummy.
Welcome to HorrorFatale.com, almost live. I'm your host, the Horror Fatale, bringing you this week's horror news, reviews, recaps, and information. As always, I ask you to like and subscribe and give us a rating on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you're listening to the cast on.
As a quadriplegic, it must be frustrating for you, someone who likes to get things done with their hands.
Here's the thing. Four guys murdered my wife.
Don't you fucking touch her!
If I could find these men, I'd do it.
What if I told you I could offer you something that would enable you to walk again? I call it STEM. A computer chip that has the potential to change everything. It's a new, better brain.
Oh my God.
I am STEM. The system operating your body for you.
Can anybody else hear you?
No, only you. May I point something out? In the drone surveillance footage, Sir Brantner, Marine Corps, address 414 Citrus, Newgrounds. You'll need a plan.
I got this.
This doesn't seem like a well-thought-out plan. I need your permission to operate independently.
Permission granted!
Thank you.
Stay down, man.
Sam, he's got a knife!
I see that. We have a knife, too. You now have full control again, Gray.
If you are involved in this somehow, then you need to let me know.
Well, I was in the area, Detective.
There's a gun implanted inside his hand.
Then what do you think I should do?
Move, Gray.
Whoa, 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 whoa!
Man, you are persistent.
I cannot allow us to be killed. We are going to finish the job we started.
You didn't know that I'm a fucking ninja.
While I am state of the art, I am not a ninja.
That was the trailer from 2018 thriller Upgrade. That opens this week's horror news. Upgrade, a TV series sequel to Lee Whannell's sci-fi movie, is in works at Blumhouse and UCP. Lee Whannell's 2018 Blumhouse sci-fi thriller feature Upgrade is getting a TV series follow-up. The series is co-created and executive produced by Whannell and Tom Walsh, who did Treadstone, will serve as showrunner. Whannell, who wrote and is the writing directing of Blumhouse's The Invisible Man, is set to direct. Upgrade, the series, picks up a few years after the events of the film and broadens the universe with an evolved version of STEM and a new host, imagining a world in which the government repurposes STEM to help curb criminal activity. The film, which Whannell wrote and directed, starred Logan Marshall Green, Betty Grable, and Harrison Gilbertson. In it, after his wife is killed during a brutal mugging that also leaves him paralyzed, Gray Trace is approached by a billionaire inventor with an experimental cure in the form of a computer chip implant called STEM. The implant provides his host with a heightened physical activities, allowing Gray to exact revenge on those responsible for his wife's death. The film was produced for $5 million and grossed more than $16 million in global box office. The series is a co-production between Blumhouse Television, UCP, which is a division of NBC Universal Content Studios, under Blumhouse's 10-year deal with NBC Universal. I really liked Upgrade. I hope you guys did too. I think you did. And if you haven't seen it, you should. To me, it was kind of Death Wish with Computer Chip. It was a really cool little movie, and it kind of snuck in there on you, because I don't think a lot of people expected it to be as good as it was. It was very well acted and very well written. Moving on, Apple in M. Night Shyamalan's Servant is not completely out of its legal problems just yet, despite a judge's dismissal of a copyright suit. The streaming arm of Apple TV Plus, was hit with a big time lawsuit over the thriller Servant series, the first season just finished airing on Apple TV Plus. Let's see. A federal judge tossed out the copyright suit that Laurent over the series. The Francesca Gregorini on Tuesday said of the dismissal with prejudice, "Today's ruling is a disappointing but not surprising." She says the balance of power in the entertainment industry has always favored powerful men and institutions. Uh-oh. Wow. Representatives for Apple TV Plus have not commented on Thursday when the ruling came down. Judge Walter not giving the plaintiff the ability to even amend her initial complaint, challenging the dismissal itself, which is kind of the only option. Gregory has to fight for this point to get her day in court again, for her appeal. In her original complaint, jury trial, desiring complaint earlier this year, Gregory sought to shut Servant completely down and be rewarded widespread for unspecified damages. I don't know how that's going to happen right now, because I think most of the courts, they're all shut down because of coronavirus. So it's probably going to be quite a while before she gets her day in court. And to be honest, probably Apple TV Plus probably will have already aired or getting ready to air season 2. This is going to be an uphill battle for her. So good luck. I'm kind of on the underdog side. Ooh, she's contending that they ripped off her 2013 feature film that she did for Apple TV, and they took it and made it into a Servant. That's her alleged suit. So Apple is saying that Servant's theme is darker and it's not the same. And it blurs a line between thriller and horror, you know, the usual things in their document. But it was a 4-page document where they were explaining themselves. So this ought to be good. Big guys versus the little guy. American Horror Story spinoff is ordered with a Black Mirror format. The American Horror Story spinoff is officially happening. FX confirmed it has a green light, the new edition of Ryan Murphy's popular and acclaimed horror series, only this time it will be a weekly anthology series so that every episode would have a standalone story. Like Netflix's Black Mirror or The Twilight Zone. The spinoff was titled American Horror Stories. We talked about that a little bit before. It's kind of interesting because American Horror Story is kind of credited for it. Well, it's launched in 2011. Kind of was the accreditation. It has the accreditation. Lord, do not eat dinner and then record your podcast, because you will be full sleeping and your brain will be lazy and you will stumble all over your words. Anyway, American Horror Story was kind of the blueprint for a lot of shows that kind of jumped on a wagon, like HBO's True Detective and Black Mirror, which was a UK anthology series at first, and then it jumped to Netflix and it became a hit in the US. So it's kind of interesting to see American Horror Stories coming along and kind of catching up to the trend that they kind of created on their own. So it's interesting. Let's see. And the original American Horror Story will debut its 10th season next year sometime. It's going to be interesting to see what they do, because the writers have like a lot of time to write some really good shit, because we have been shut down for since March, and so I hope they're riding away, and I'm expecting some big kick ass episodes for all of these series. I'm just saying, I'm just putting that out there. That's this week's horror news.
In the midst of the 1980s, no one was scarier than Freddy Krueger.
I love Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, I was obsessed. Loving Freddy Krueger, loving A Nightmare on Elm Street.
But part two came along and it was just a strange movie.
For a lot of us, Nightmare on Elm Street 2 was our introduction to, like,
a lot of gay in that movie.
It's kind of a siren song for the queer horror community.
And Mark Patton's he's a scream queen.
I wake up in the middle of the first movie that I'm the lead actor in and realize that there's a gay subtext in it.
It wasn't subtext, it was right there.
This movie is the gayest thing. And we did Xanadu last month.
Some of the circumstances around the making of this film created a lot of hurt for him.
And people ask you about it, you say, no, Mark was just so gay that he ruined the movie.
You know, the mainstream public, they weren't ready for a male scream queen. They couldn't articulate it.
I think the word is homoerotic.
That it wasn't owned as a queer film made a light shine on him that was completely inappropriate.
The film that was poised to launch his career ended up destroying it.
Mark Patton pretty much disappeared.
He was the Greta Garbo of horror.
I was not an out gay actor in Hollywood in 1985. I was a gay person, and I was living in terror.
In the 1980s, to be queer was to be this sort of diseased pariah. I think, in a way, Mark Patton paid the price for that.
It was on the page of the script, and I knew we were treading in there.
This is not a delusion that I'm having. You filmed in one of the biggest gay bars in Los Angeles.
Oh, well, was that a gay bar?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yes. It's...
Yeah, you can play with it all you want.
I wanted to be a movie star. This movie destroyed it.
That's what made him go a little crazy.
The movie was 30 years ago, and you're still pissed off at Dave Chastain.
You've been lying for 30 years about this.
Yeah, I never wrote, you know, he screams like a woman.
If you don't think that this is all interconnected, then you need to do your math again.
That was the trailer for this week's movie review, Scream Queen, My Nightmare on Elm Street. It premieres today, which is Thursday, June 4th. I still can't do the time jump in my head. Happy Pride, by the way. Some have called it the gayest horror movie ever made, but Mark Patton, the star of A Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge, it was anything but a dream come true. 30 years after its initial release, Patton sets the record straight about the controversial sequel that halted his career before it even began, detailing the homophobia and AIDS phobia of 1985 as a closeted actor in Hollywood. Mark retraces his obstacles, missteps, and detractors on the pathway to stardom. Confronting the cast and crew for the first time, Mark attempts to make peace with his past as well as embrace his legacy as cinema's first male scream queen. The film stars Mark Patton, Robert Englund, Kim Myers, Robert Ressler, Marshall Bell, Clue Glugler, and Jack Sheldon. It's directed by Roman Cimini and Taylor Jensen. It's a Shudder exclusive. It's also available on Shudder Canada. Now, in preparation for watching this documentary, which I'd heard about a couple of years ago, I think it actually came out, I want to say a couple of years ago, maybe in 2018, I didn't get a chance to watch it, so this is my first time actually getting to watch the documentary. But in preparation, I went back and watched A Nightmare on Elm Street 2, and I was literally the only kid, I think, because when you watch the documentary, there are all these other kids that got it. They picked up on it, and it could be said because they themselves say that they were gay, and that's how they, some of them said that that's how they discovered their homosexuality. Maybe a straight cisgender female if you aren't, you know, you don't, you're not gay, maybe you don't pick it up. But I picked up none of it. Now, having said that, now knowing, yeah, I see it. I see it. It's very evident in several scenes. But then at the time, didn't see it. It's so strange. I just thought Mark Patton was cute. I thought he was a cutie pie, and that was kind of it. I didn't get the whole the writer says screams like a woman. I didn't write screams like a woman. I didn't think he screamed like a woman. He was supposed to, I guess, again. And then I have to look at the year, because it was 1985. I was like 8. So maybe that's what it was or whatever. I just thought he was screaming like a scared teenager, a kid, you know. I didn't pick up on screams like a woman. I didn't get gay from him. Mark, you did not read gay to me. So I think you could have kept acting. It was really I had gripes over the years about Elm Street 2, just because I didn't like the fact that they took Freddy from Dreamland and put him in reality. That never made any sense to me. I was like, why did they do that? That made zero sense. That was my only gripe with the movie. I liked it. I didn't know until, like I said, a couple of years ago that it was considered campy and cheesy. I didn't get any of that from it. To me, in my opinion, some of the later sequels are way more campier and cheesier than 2. That's just my opinion. I thought 2 was really good at the time when it came out. I thought it was really good. Like I said, my biggest gripe was that they took Freddy out of Dreamland. This documentary, if you haven't seen it, you should see it. Again, it's premiering on Shudder today. It streams today. It is very eye-opening. Like I said, I had no idea. They only mentioned the stars from the film coming back in it. But there were other actors, not really actors, I said the commentators, Peaches Christ, I saw in there, Josh Grinnell, I think is Peaches Christ's real name. Y'all know, I never am prepared, and I have points to make. But they had other people from the that watched the film too. And like I said, they were saying just, you know, this was gay and that was gay. And the dance scene, you remember the dance scene? The dance scene, again, I didn't know I didn't pick up on it at all at the time. I just thought it was a cheesy, you know, white boy trying to dance in his room. You know, I didn't get it. It was really also interesting because they have this point in there where Robert England and the guy that played Grady, Robert Ressler, both say that it was on the script. It was in the script. It was on the page. Most of the subtext, it was written right there. And what I thought was interesting, the director, Jack Shoulder, also is like me. I didn't get any of it either. And I feel pretty good about that, too, because, you know, if he's a director and he's not picking up on it, I'm glad, you know, that I wasn't the only one. But Robert England, you know, I don't want to give you the whole film, but he says he was actually playing with it. Like, he the way he approached Freddy's character interaction with, what's his name, Jesse, his name is Jesse in the film, Mark Patton's character, yeah, Jesse Walsh, he said it was completely on purpose. He had a whole Freddy is, you know, a Beauty and the Beast kind of thing. Like, Mark Patton was, like I said, he was cute, he really was a cute kid, so it was like he was just playing with this Beauty and the Beast thing. And now that's I get it. That's a love thing. and he said that he played Freddy in a way where Freddy is kind of toying with this kid's sexuality, or maybe even a sexuality that he didn't even know that he had. And I was like, wow. I feel like I get where Mark Patton's anger comes from. I completely get it. Because like they point out in the film, in 1985 America, most people were in the closet, because America was at that time its backward ass self as it always is, you know, even more so then, because Reagan and his policies and stuff. I would also steer you towards Pose. There's a TV show called Pose that you probably know about that plays on FX, and the first season dealt a lot with the AIDS epidemic. And I watched that series too, because again, I was 8-9 years old and I was paying attention, but I wasn't cognizant that much was going on, to the effect of the way that the AIDS patients was treated. It's very interesting. And I got to learn about, you know, the activism that went along during that time. So to hear Mark Patton, I feel for him, because I get it. Like, I think that I don't want to give you all away, but he deserved an apology. I think they should have told him that they were meaning for this to be, you know, a queer movie, because the simple fact that at those times he felt like it ruined him. It ruined his life, because now he's outed when he that wasn't his intention to be outed at that time, because, you know, it was a career killer. I think they even show how Rock Hudson, who was this big movie star, this old legendary movie star, as a matter of fact, and he died of AIDS, like, right around this time. I kind of remembered a little bit. I remember it being a big deal. I remember, like, one of my grandmother's friends was, like, really into Rock Hudson. She had like a scrapbook and stuff with like Rock Hudson pictures and stuff that she'd cut out like her whole life or something. And then I remember she threw it away. She threw the whole thing away when it was revealed that he had AIDS, because back in those days there wasn't a cocktail and there wasn't any treatment. I think it was pretty much a death sentence, and it was bad. I just remember being really, really bad. And like I said, if you watch Pose, it takes that remembrance of bad to a whole nother level. I wasn't aware that they were burying these people in like unmarked grave. You know, it was just, you couldn't get funeral homes that wanted to take the bodies, and, you know, you didn't have people that wanted to work these floors where the AIDS patients were. They pretty much wouldn't care for him. It's just bad. Anyway, so I get his anger, you know. I would have liked to know. I think they hired him because, like I said, he was pretty and he could act. He had talent. I hope it wasn't anything sinister. It's like, they did it on purpose. I don't think they did, but I'm with you, Mark, and your anger. I get it. I completely get it. It's a shame though, because he was really, like I said, he was talented, and I would have liked to have seen him in other things, but he got abused. Like, if you'll see in the film, and again, I highly recommend you watch it. They do a really good job of setting the scene of where he came from and his, you know, his path into Nightmare 2. And honestly, probably if he hadn't done Nightmare 2, if that hadn't been on his resume, he probably would have done well. He probably would have just, he probably eventually came out. But he would have been able to do that on his own terms or whatever. and he probably would have had a different career path. But because he'd done a movie with Cher, I think it's a Robert Altman movie they mentioned in there. He was on Hotel. He was on his way and got derailed with this film because it's a witch hunt vibe that was happening in Hollywood. And so he got a lot of abuse, he moved to Mexico, and he gets on the internet and he Googles it, and people were still calling it gay and calling him the F word and all kind of bullshit. It's a mess. But the documentary is definitely one to watch. Like I said, they do a really good job of giving you Mark Patton's path to Nightmare, and they bookend it with where he is now in his life and him meeting and sitting down with the other cast and crew and the director. And it was the director's like, I had no idea. he's like me, he had no idea. And the final scene, he meets with the writer of Nightmare 2 and gets to get a little bit of resolution. I hope he got some. But it is a really good documentary, like I keep saying repeatedly. And while you're at it, I highly recommend you watch Nightmare 2, because I think you'll have a little bit more appreciation for it. I don't get why it gets as much hate as it does. Who the fuck cares? You know what I'm saying? If he is gay, fine. I don't get it. But like I said, my only gripe is that they took Freddy out of Dream World and put him in real life. I still don't know how that worked. that's what we should be angry about. The writer should explain that fucking shit. It's like, why would you bring him out of, you know, or whatever? That was my only gripe. But as far as the movie itself, it's actually a pretty good sequel, in my opinion. And it's my podcast, so it's the one that counts. But Scream Queen, My Nightmare on Elm Street, is currently streaming right now on Shudder, and I suggest you check it out. So coming up next week, guys, we're gonna have another movie review. I actually the irony of this, you guys, I reviewed and watched Body Cam starring Mary J. Blige, and this just was not the week for it. Because I didn't do an episode last week, I had scheduled two things, because I knew that, like I said, Scream Queen was premiering on Shudder today, and Body Cam premiered two weeks ago. So I was gonna watch both of them and have like this really long cast episode where I reviewed both of them. But I did watch Body Cam in light of recent events. It's been a tough week for the country as a whole. We're in a pandemic, and as you probably know, if you don't live under a rock or whatever, the country's in a one of the most racially tense times that I think I've ever experienced. We're having riots. And most importantly, we're having protesting around the country because something's got to change. So it's been a really kind of weird week for the country and me. I'm a black lady, so it's been emotional. So I watched Body Cam. It's a pretty good movie for what it was. Mary J. Blige is proving that she's a really good little actress. There, go Mary. It's Body Cam, for the record. It is a cop movie. Mary J. Blige plays a beat cop, and her partner come upon a crime scene where one of their fellow officers has just been slain. But she's the only one, for some reason, can see the events that's happened that was recorded on his body cam. nobody else can see the footage, or so they claim, or can they see it? There is a supernatural element to the film, but it's for extremely good reason, and that's all I'm gonna really say. I would only caution you to watch it if you're in the mood to watch Dirty Cops. If you're not in the mood to watch Dirty Cops, then don't watch it. And that probably spoiled you a little bit, but I just wanted to give you a warning because I didn't want you to, you know, pop in body cam and you're like, no. It's a fairly good film for what it was. It wasn't a major studio film, so it's pretty good. I think it's on the usual on demands. It's on Prime, that kind of thing. Maybe watch it a couple of months from now. Don't watch it right away because you may not be able to deal with it right now in light of, you know, actual real life events that's going on. And sadly enough, the events in this supernatural horror film could actually fucking happen for real. That's the sad shit about it. Coming up next episode, Scare Package will be premiering on Shudder, and I will tell you all about it. I'm really excited about it. It's an anthology film that's going to be airing next episode. It'll be coming out on June 17th, I think. No, 18th. Is it June? Yeah, June 18th. So it won't be next episode. It'll be the episode after next that I'll tell you about it. And we'll also have Good Boy, which will be the next episode for Hulu and Blumhouse's Into the Dark that will be airing. That's also on the 18th. Wow, so I don't know what the hell I'll talk to you guys about next week. I'm sure we'll find something. But I ask you guys to follow me on the socials at Horror Fatale on Instagram and Twitter at Horror Fatale. And I want to tell everybody to stay safe, wear your mask, wash your hands. If you're protesting, also stay safe, wear your mask, wash your hands. And I stand with you, Black Lives Matter. And until next time, you guys, happy nightmares.
Someone is coming back to Elm Street. He is not friendly. He is not patient.
Kill for me!
And he is not a welcome visitor.
No! No! No!
But he has something terribly special for the new kid on the block.
It started to happen again.
Dad!
I'm in trouble. You've had some scary dreams, okay? Help!
Daddy can't help you now.
There's something inside him.
Fight him! You're not afraid of him. He doesn't even exist.
Freddy Krueger is back on Elm Street.
Get out of here, Lisa!
Watch out for him. He'll be in your neighborhood soon. A Nightmare on Elm Street, Part 2.
You are all my children now.
Freddy's Revenge.